Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. That is all unqualified praises due to Allah, and after that, all unqualified praises due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala alayna kitabun mubin. Praise be to Allah who sent down upon us His book most clear. Alhamdulillah, alladhi khalaqa al-insana fi ahsani taqwim. Praise be to Allah who created the human being in the most excellent mold. Wa ba'atha nabiyyina mubashirin wa munzirin, and raised up and commissioned from among them messengers as bringers of good news and as warners. When ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, reservation, or embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. Lahul mulk, His is the kingdom. Lahul hamd, to Him is due all unqualified praise. Bi yadihi al-khayr, in His hand is all good. Wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir, and He has power over all things. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. We bear open and sound testimony that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is his slave servant, his last and final prophet. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد. O Allah, send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader Muhammad, وعلى آله, upon his family, وصحبه, upon his companions, أجمعين, all of them. Wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Wa jumu'a mubarak. Amma ba'da, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. ألم تر أن الله يسجد له من في السماوات ومن في الأرض والشمس والقمر والنجوم والجبال والشجر والدواب وكثير من الناس إن من الناس tell me about this mic last time. What am I supposed to do up here? SubhanAllah. But it's going to be all day if I don't do it, so I think. We'll start again. I was glad. أَلَمْ تَرَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَالشَّمْسُ وَالْقَمَرُ وَالنُّجُومُ وَالْجِبَالُ وَالشَّجْرُ وَالدَّوَابُ كَثِيرًا وَكَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ وكثير حق عليه عذاب ومن يحن الله فما له من مكرم إن الله يفعل ما يشاء صدق الله العظيم. Says, says, do you not see that to Allah bows down, that is, makes sajda in worship all things that are in the heavens and on the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the hills, the trees, the animals, and a great number among mankind. But a great number are also such as are fit for punishment, and such as Allah shall disgrace, none can raise them to honor, for Allah carries out all that He wills. A hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's a hadith about a man who prayed badly, and it's narrated in Bukhari and Muslim. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he entered the masjid and the man came in and prayed. And he came and greeted the Messenger of Allah, and the Messenger of Allah returned the greeting and said, go back and pray, for you have not prayed. The man went back and prayed as he had prayed before. Then he came to the Prophet, greeted him, and the Prophet greeted him, wa alaykum salam. Then he said, go back and pray, for you have not prayed. When he had done that three times, the man said, by the one who sent you with the truth, I cannot do any more than that. Teach me. He said, when you go to pray, say takbir. Takbir is Allahu Akbar. Say takbir. Then recite whatever you can of the Quran. Then bow until you are at ease in bowing. Then rise until you are standing up straight, then prostrate until you are at ease in prostration, then sit up until you are at ease in sitting. Then do that throughout the entire prayer. Sadaqa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our continuing topic today is the signs in sajda, the signs in sajda. The destiny is to get to why do we make two sajda, meaning that I'm going to have to say the secret in it, for lack of a better term and for sake of time, the wisdom, the sign, the revelation that's in it. But the intention is to go physical, rational, spiritual, body, mind, spirit. So today, we're still on the physical aspects of our salat, the physical act, the postures that we actually go through and the nature of those. But we'll, again, only focus on the quote-unquote physical and health benefits today, physical and health benefits of sajda itself. Alama Muhammad Iqbal radiallahu anhu, a very famous and useful scholar in al-Islam. He has many, many publications, but one is The Reconstruction of Religious Thought. This comes from the chapter. This is just a sentence, but very important for our subject. It comes from The Reconstruction of Religious Thought, and in that publication, the chapter, The Concept of God and the meaning of prayer. One sentence we've taken from that is, he says, we cannot ignore the important consideration that the posture of the body is a real factor in determining the attitude of the mind. We cannot ignore the important consideration that the posture of the body is a real factor in determining the attitude of the mind. Something a little bit, a little light. There's a series. It doesn't run anymore. Television series doesn't run anymore, but it's based on essentially this idea, but mainly about the face. It's called Lie to Me. I don't know if anybody ever saw that. I think they had maybe like 3 seasons. Very, very entertaining. But this guy, his business is, you know, acting like a Sherlock Holmes to find out the truth of a crime or who did the crime, et cetera. But he does it simply by interpreting the facial expressions of the individuals that are interviewed. And any of you have had any contact, or if you watch enough TV like I do, but I study when I watch TV. I don't, you know, so I relax. That's my excuse. What's yours? The FBI. The FBI, they're not looking at what you say. They're looking at your eyes. Which way did your eyes go? Where were you last night at 7 o'clock? You know, if your eyes go up to the right or down to the left, or you close or bat your eye, or you touch your mouth or something like that. Well, that's conversation. It didn't matter what you said, because that's going to either be interpreted by them as the truth or the lie relative to that. In fact, they use, and other hood, it's called a neurolinguistic programming. There are those who use the body as a lie detector. The body is a lie detector, literally speaking. And Quran says as much. It said that the body parts are going to be given voice in the last days, in the judgment, etc. And said, who gave voice? The one who created us the first time, the one who gives everything a voice. And so consequently, body language is a communication. So this statement that you cannot ignore the posture of the body as a real factor in determining the attitude of the mind, that's science, that's law, that's all of that. And now we're taking it specifically to the place of the prayer, because sometimes we don't relate things to the prayer, and that's the point. To recognize that God didn't just have us to go through these postures just for the sake of going through the postures. When we do that, it's just ritualism. We're doing it without understanding. And then we become like those that the Quran warns us against, those who are unmindful of their prayers. You're doing it, but if you don't know why you're doing it, what you're doing it for, and how you're to be conscious of what you're doing, then there's an absence there. There's a lack of richness that should come to you, and there's a lack of development that comes. Yes, there's going to be certain development, and as we go further, you'll see there are certain things that are going to happen anyway, whether you know it or not. But it's going to be more powerful toward the end that Allah intends when you do so consciously. So most of what I have to say today will come from an online article from Ghazal Kamran, who is a senior physiotherapist in Rehabilitation and Physical Medicine Institute, Al Ain Hospital in UAE. That's the United Arab Emirates. Speaking about what happens in the sajda with us physically, what happens in the sajda. He says, the position of maintaining the lower back flexed and the forehead resting gently on the floor allows the postural neck muscles to be activated in order to control the neutral head position in lowering down and while lifting it up from the floor. So it's an exercise to this part of your body when you actually do it. And, you know, as you get older anyway, part of what's lost in being older and getting older is flexibility. It's one of the critical things you lose in getting older. You lose flexibility. But alhamdulillah, as long as you can make the salat and as long as you can go through the postures, you are flexing practically every part of your body, okay? So he's speaking to that. And to reference again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hadith that we read, He says that the critical thing is to take a position until you come to rest at that position. You know, in California, I'm sure they do it elsewhere, but this is where I live and drive most of the time. You know, we got what's called the Hollywood stop. Y'all know what the Hollywood stop is? Some of them just don't stop at all. You can almost predict. You can tell the way dude is driving. You can tell the way he positioned himself in the lane. He said, this kid ain't going to stop at a stop sign. He's not going to wait. I know he's over there. He's supposed to be turning left, but I already know. I don't even have to look at him to know he's not turning left. He's going to jump up in front of this line. That's going to happen, okay? So we have this tendency, you know, we come up to the stop, and then boom. Like, now, if the police was there, like, yeah, the police there, you say that you're aware of them, you sure will stop. Yeah, like, okay. When you stop because the police are there. All right, let me do it. Yeah, come on now. It's, you know, I want to relax because it's about to go a little bit deeper. So let me give you a little humor. Yeah. Guy made this Hollywood stop, and the police pulled him over. He said, what you pulling me over for? He said, you didn't stop at the stop sign. I did stop. You didn't stop at the stop. I did stop. He said, no, you just kept going. You slowed down, but you didn't stop. I stopped. What you talking about, man? Harassing me. Policeman snatched him out of the car, threw him on the ground, sound familiar, and he started hitting him in the head with the baton, right? Bam, bam, bam. Why are you doing that? What'd you do that? Stop, stop, stop. What, you want me to stop or you want me to slow down? Okay. So if you didn't know the difference between stop and slow down, you know the difference of stop and slow down right now, right? All right. So we can't be having these Hollywood stop such does now. Yeah, your head just bumped the ground. Just boom. You know, just Hollywood stop real cool. Here they go. Boom. No. Move to the position, feel yourself at rest, and then change the position. Feel yourself at rest, and then change the position. Feel yourself at rest, and that includes when you move from the first sajda to the second sajda, to the jalsa to the sajda, right? So, and I'll call that, it throws me out sometimes. The first one, the second one, both of them, it's the same position, but qada, jalsa, in those positions to know when you're supposed to stop. So I'm saying when we do subhan rabbi al-ala, subhan rabbi al-ala, then we come up, allahumma ghafirli warhamni. It's not just after you say allahumma ghafirli warhamni, then you just go down, just like when you come up, sami allahu liman hamida, and then just jump to rabbana lakal hamd and go down. Come up and be at rest. Then go down. Sajda. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Come back up. Sitting position. Feel yourself at rest. Don't just boom. You know? It's like pop locking in the prayer. I want you to hear this. Sometimes we hear things better when a joke is made about it, but it's very, very serious. So in any case, coming to rest. So this is the benefit of taking the posture, the way that the Prophet tells us to take the posture is a way to ensure that we get the benefit that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for us to get in doing the ritual itself. The hands are also stretched out in a manner that allows the forearm as well as the arm muscles to bear the weight. So you're getting some exercise there. And the Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't rest like a dog or a camel. When you go down, your elbow should not be on the mat. That's how dogs and camels rest. We're up. And some reports say the Prophet's arms are open such that you can see his armpits. So when you're down like that, that's a posture. You're down like that, subhana rabbi al-ala, subhana rabbi al-ala, and your arms are up, so you are flexing in a certain way your arm is not just it's not a resting position for your arms. It's like that. Okay. So they're bearing some weight, and again, they're getting some exercise. You'd be surprised how little movement. MashaAllah, you know, in my rehabilitation phase of the heart operation, they gave me some exercises to do that were designed to get the heart going before you get up and start moving. Very, very simple things like this, things like that. And if you, now I have this heart rate thing, but before, even there, when you're being monitored, that raises your heart rate. You'd be surprised how much those little movements raise your heart rate. So again, that means then that the benefit of salat is having these benefits to the heart. And I know many of us, you know, you can feel the quote unquote exercise in it. And I'm saying to you, even in this, it doesn't take a lot. It takes a lot less than what we do in salat to get the heart muscle pumping, and that's got to be good for the circulation. Just salat overall is good for the circulation. And when you think about the 17 rak'ahs in total, I believe it is, in the course of a day, it's like you might be saying to yourself, well, I don't exercise at all. Yeah. If you make it a lot, you exercise. Remember the hotel maid analogy that we gave previously. So in terms of taking the right posture and having the mind related to that posture, you can get those benefits. As soon as you change your intention or add to your intention, in this case, that you're getting physiological health benefits in doing this, then you get that benefit. All you got to do is just add that to your intention. The first intention is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then within that intention is embedded the recognition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give us this ritual just as something empty to do. He gave it to us for a benefit. It's for falah. It's for our cultivation. Okay. So then going on to the other part of the position. The toes, the entire vertebral column, and the upper and lower spinal muscles experience a stretch. One of the things that they gave also is in warming up. They have you warm up. You just do that with you. You know, it made me. I can only think about Klay Thompson. I don't know why I think about Klay Thompson. It seems like I always see him. It's like he's the one to do that. I'm saying, you know, what's the benefit? But now the doctors tell you it don't take a lot to do that. And it's also a hamstring. And of course, he had a problem with the hamstring in the end. But the point is that those little things go a very long way. So that stretch is also happening when you're in the sajda position. The knees form a right angle that they allow the abdominal muscle contraction to be activated and prevent flabbiness. Here's another thing. Yeah, bro, you must not be doing sajda, bro. No. Oh, yeah, I'm doing a lot of sajda. You should have saw me then. But now, in terms of this, what I want to say about this is as far as heart disease, diabetes, and those other things, the biggest and whatever the negative impacts of cholesterol and light, it has everything to do with the abdominal fat, the fat in this part of the body. You can have fat in a lot of other places, but when you have it here, it has much more pathological implications, right? So his sajda is causing us to, and you know, think about the abdominal muscles, whereas other muscles, when you exercise those muscles get bigger. The abdominal muscles, they actually shrink and they tighten up, right? And the muscle, of course, burns fat and the like. So again, going back to the idea that there is exercise in the salat, then you're getting that benefit as well, just in the position of sajda. The hip joint was in maximal flexion during the prostration posture, which was much lower than the measured passive, what they call range of motion, right? So it's like most times, you know, when we're not paying attention to how much flex we actually get in our hip range, in the hip area, right? And again, older people, real problems come in that hip area, broken hips and all the rest of that. But when you have more flexibility in that area, then all the better. Well, when we do sajda, then the hips are getting also flexed that they otherwise don't normally get. It says that, so it gives more range of motion to the hips. The stretch felt in the length of the spine as the individual curls the torso over the leg also creates a space, and the dorsal surfaces of the dorsal is the back, right? Yeah, dorsal is the back. The dorsal surfaces of the vertebrae of the spine and aids the spinal distraction as well as allowing neural glides and the lengthening of the nerves. So all these micro changes are going on in the body just in the position of sajda. The posture combined with other exercises opens the lower lumbar facet joint and may help to reduce the lower back pain, and sciatica can be used to treat spinal stenosis and other degenerative disc diseases. This doctor stated that the prostration is the only position in which the head is in a position lower than the heart and therefore receives increased blood supply to the brain, stimulates the brain's frontal cortex, the blood flow. More. I've seen these contraptions where the individuals hang themselves upside down, right? And hang themselves upside down. What's the object? The object is to get more blood flow to the brain, right? And when you get more blood flow to the brain, of course, the idea is that the brain works better. And in fact, 20% of all the water that you drink, for sure, it's taken up by the brain. We don't pay much attention to it in from a physiological point of view. But the brain is very, very demanding on whatever we put in the body, the water, the nutrition, et cetera, the blood flow, et cetera. And when you have a practice and an exercise like sajda, because other people, how many people don't make sajda? I'm talking about non-praying people whose prayer doesn't include putting your head on the ground. It's like, and they're walking all day, every day. What's up with that blood flow? And when you throw into that the way that this society, quote unquote, encourages us to eat or tricks us into eating. The Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's two things that can't be full at the same time. It's the stomach and the head. And so now you got your stomach filled, your forehead is never on the ground, and you're walking around wondering why you got headaches. Because the brain is being deprived. Forget about that. The other part of it, don't forget about it, but add to that. Water. How much water do we drink, right? All these things deprive us of that. But alhamdulillah, with salat, we are stimulating blood flow to the brain. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And so this surge of blood supply also has a positive effect on memory, concentration, psyche, and other cognitive ability. Now, I'm going to put an underline for myself on this because this is a critical thing in all this conversation I'm having. When we get to it, certainly a large part of it is going to come up in the when we begin to talk about the rational side of it, inshallah, maybe next week, or the mental side of it. And part of it has already been spoken to, speaking of the brain's frontal cortex and this blood flow to the brain. The frontal cortex is like the last part of the brain that has developed in our total evolution. It's the thing that distinguishes us from animals. It's the thing that gives us the ability to plan, the ability to reason, the ability to protect ourselves from enemies, the ability to sustain ourselves in environments that would otherwise be threatening to us, that frontal cortex. And so when we pray, the prayer is stimulating part of our the anatomy that's very strong for our survival, So it says, so concentration, psyche, and other cognitive abilities. A study investigating the alpha brain activity during prostration has reported increased amplitude in the parietal and occipital regions, suggestive of parasympathetic elevation, thus indicating a state of relaxation. Don't you feel rested when you're getting sajda? I mean, when you think about it, I mean, when you're conscious of it, you know, you get in sajda. And you actually take a breath. And you feel your whole body relaxing, just in the position of sajda. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You know, and people have these meditative practices, et cetera, that are designed to bring this kind of stress relief and the reduction of anxiety, et cetera. And that's our religion. That's our way of life. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. So we bring ourselves to peace, we bring ourselves to rest, we strengthen our cognitive capabilities and so many other faculties that we have. Neuroscience has established that if you keep placing your awareness in the same place, that means then you are firing and wiring the same networks of neurons. Neurons, sister brought me back a little brain cell stuff. Creature from her trip yesterday, not yesterday, last week. These brain cells, and actually on my book, those things that you see on the book, those are actually neurons, neuronal connections, right? And so if you can imagine this network of nerves in your brain that have not been put to any particular task, even though certain of them are automatically put to task because just growing, walking, talking, breathing, eating, what have you, there are certain brain patterns, neural patterns that are there, and they are those patterns that serve those particular functions in your body. But take, for example, when you became Muslim, for example, those who have, you became Muslim, you started doing some things that you weren't doing before. One of them, for example, is prayer. And as you make prayer, then that prayer creates new neural patterns in your brain because it's like a system of dots. Unconnected. But then as you pray, those dots get connected. And it represents these are the pathways that are activated every time whatever that act is being done. And so there becomes neural patterns for salat, just for salat. And then the brain is modified in such a way that whenever you do the salat, the benefits from salat are, how can you say, amplified, you're doing better, you're doing faster, you're doing easier. It becomes a habit, inshallah. It will if you stay with it. It becomes a habit. And so what this neuroscientist is saying, now I'm actually out of Dr. Ghazal's commentary. This is another doctor of neuroscience. And it says that if you keep placing your awareness in the same place, you're firing, wiring the same network of neurons. Now, he's speaking also about if you're just thinking about a certain thing all the time. And as you think about that all the time, those dots get connected based on that you continuously think about. So you create brain patterns by the way you think. Well, I may as well say this too. Part of the problem of being unconscious of who you are, what you are, and who you are, what you have, is that from the moment we came into this world, we became conscious. Even though we weren't thinking in the formal sense of it, we were thinking. But as we began to be thinkers having experiences, we think in the ways that we think. And it never stops, like a river. It never stops until we die. Or until we become, quote-unquote, brain dead in that sense. And there's some debate on that in terms of their thinking in coma. But the point is that it's been demonstrated that we have as many as 70 to 90,000 thoughts a day. A day. When you get a chance, stop and count your thoughts. 70 to 90,000 thoughts a day. But 80 to 90% of them are negative and wrong. Do the math on that. And one more feature of that, redundant negative and wrong. It's 70,000 thoughts, but you thought about the same thing 1,000 times. And it was wrong when you thought about it the first time. So the brain patterns that are actually governing our habitual ways are potentially negative and wrong. And so when you talk about, just for an example, when you talk about being having anxiety, having depression, or having thoughts of fear or thoughts of doubt, or those are all thoughts, right? These are all these negative thoughts. The thing about thinking and the thing about thoughts are that they are electromagnetic. They are electromagnetic. You've ever heard of functional magnetic resonance imagery, right? So it's like they take a picture of your brain activity. How do they take a picture of your brain activity? They put electrodes on your skull, and there's enough electricity being generated from your gray matter that it gets through the skull and to the electrodes and registers on the machine. It's electrical. And so when we make sajda, sajda grounds us. When you look at that, when you look at a plug in the wall, most times you have these three holes in it. You got two straight ones and one round one, right? The one round one is the ground. And what's the idea about the ground? The ground is for what? The ground is to go into the ground. So when we put our head on the ground, those anxious, those negative, those, those kinds of impulses that produce the uneasiness that we physiologically experience in our body, they're going out of us into the ground. It ain't the ground, it's the rug. Have you ever walked in a hotel and reached for the door and got shot? Right? So what happened? Where did it come from? It was building up in your body from walking on the carpet. And when it made contact with something that could emit or release or evoke that electricity out of your body, well, where was it going to be if that never happened? It was going to be in you. But when we pray, when we put our head on the ground, it releases that kind of, or it gives us that kind of grounding, okay, which makes for a greater ease on our part. Let's finish this and move. So you fire the same neural networks, and as a result, you build up stronger brain maps in that area. In a Harvard study, research subjects who never before played a piano mentally practice a simple five-finger piano exercise for 2 hours for 5 days and made the same brain changes in the subject as the subject who physically practiced the same activities but without ever lifting a finger. The region of their brains that controls finger movements increased dramatically, allowing their brains to look as though they experienced what they had only imagined. They installed the neurological hardware, the circuits, and the software, the programs, what they were practicing, and thereby creating new brain maps by thought alone. Somewhere down the road in this conversation, we bring the verse from the Quran where it says, they make similitudes for God, but forget their own creation. They make similitudes for God, but they forget their own creation. Understand this, brothers and sisters. We do not know how magnificent we are. I know, good-looking men, good-looking women in here, and we look in the mirror and we say, yeah, man, I sure look good, don't I? Yeah. That's not the real beauty. And that's not where the real power is. The real beauty and the real power is what you have been potentiated with, that in most cases we haven't begun to scratch the scratch of the surface. Wallahi, I'm telling you, inshallah, we'll get to it. But this is what the invitation of Al-Islam is for. The invitation of Al-Islam is for us to cultivate that power so that we can see, and not just see, but use what God has done Brothers and sisters, you look back in the history of al-Islam, and we marvel at the things that Muslims have done in the past, of the glorious Islamic past, even from Badr and Uhud and all the other things that were done in the first Muslim community. Then when you go to the golden era of Islam and the great things that were done there, those things were done by people who were practicing al-Islam and who brought out of themselves that potential that gets cultivated by that practice. And as a result, they built worlds that reflected that ability that comes from that ibadah, that comes from that worship. So this is where we want to go. This is where we need to go. This is where we must go. Because if we don't go further than where we are right now, what's that about? I mean, what's that about? Come on now. What does that look like? Is that not our goal, to build an ummah? What does that look like? You have to look back at when Muslims were doing it, quote-unquote, right. That's what it looks like. Okay, well, let's look at where we are, and let's look at what that looks like, and let's ask ourselves, how far are we from that? And now ask ourselves, what is it going to take to get there? It's sure not going to get there if you don't practice al-Islam.
I got the water, but I didn't get the mattress. Oh, no, it's all right. I got some bathroom tissue here. I would have showed you, but that would have been too sacrilegious. Okay, so we're putting this on. Simply, the brain changes that go on just by making salat, just alone, without talking about the benefits that come from those particular changes. It's like how they cascade into powers that we have no idea about. That's what we need to really pay attention to. And don't take salat as just something that you do in five different parts of the day, and it has no more meaning than that. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. الله أكبر. بسم الله. No, I had the word I just did. Thank you. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين. So Allah says throughout the Quran, wa aqim as-salat wa atu az-zakat. Establish the prayer and give the zakat. Establish the prayer and give the zakat. Friends, I really, really need us to just embrace beyond the formula or the slang, the cliche of these terms. I can say that. Okay, but we have to do. So Waqim Salat is telling us to make it a habit. Make it a habit. There are martial artists in the room and others who have mastered other things. And we mentioned this before, and I'll mention it again briefly in this connection. And that is, we have to move through four levels in order to master anything. Let's call it established thing. Even like language. For children, the language instinct is not really established until like after 6 years old. After 6 years old, 7 years old, the language skill is established, right? Wa'akum as-salat, meaning that we are to get salat to the place where it is just as habitual as speech, just as habitual as any other thing that we do. That's the goal. It's not, salat has to be something that we just don't think about when it comes time for salat, nothing to think about. So we have to learn that, and going through those four stages, you have the unconscious incompetence, you don't know, and you don't know how to do it, and you don't know what it is you don't know. But then when you learn it, you come to the level of the conscious incompetent. Yeah, you know it. Oh, but I did that wrong. Conscious incompetent, meaning that I know what I'm supposed to do, but I just didn't do it right. So I'm conscious of it, but I'm not competent in it yet, okay? Then you have to move to the third level where you become a conscious competent. I know what's involved with the prayer. I know how to do the prayer, you know, and so, but I can't get distracted at all. I know, so I have to keep practicing so I can get through it and not make mistakes in my movements and making the prayer. So that's the third level, conscious competence. So you're competent, but you're thinking about it, right? You got to get it. Wakamas to that means that you are unconscious and competent, meaning that I can do it without thinking about it. Listen to what I'm saying. I know how to do it. What comes next? No. You're not at that level yet. You're not at the level I'm speaking of yet. But those of us who have been praying for decades, we are at the level of unconscious competence, right? So much so that sometimes that's how we forget how many rak'ahs, because the process has been going on totally unconsciously. In that moment, in that time, and in those situations, our mind has gone somewhere else, but our body is still praying. You ever heard of muscle memory? Once you make salah and it's established, your body becomes your subconscious mind. And so you can think about the recipe, you can think about what you got to do when you finish making prayer, you can think about what that person said to you before you came in the house. What you doing? You praying? But all the time in the prayer, you still having that conversation. Well, I don't know what she's talking about. What did you see? That's what man said. I don't like crying to lust. You know what I'm saying? How are these two things happening at the same time? Because the prayer has been turned over to your body. But your mind is somewhere else. And now listen to when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't come to prayer with your mind befogged. It don't have to be befogged with intoxicants. It can be befogged with care. You're just so upset, so worried, so bothered by something. Your prayer's not going to really be working. This brings us to the idea of the adhan as we finish this portion of it. The adhan. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that the adhan is required for every salah. You praying by yourself, make the adhan. You at home, nobody there, make the adhan. If you got prayer clock or something else that does that, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, it's mandatory that you have that. Why? Why? So when you think about it from a physiological, neurological perspective, this is one of the whys, and Allah knows best. There's what you call fixed action pattern or modal action pattern. I like the modal action pattern because map, you put map in there, modal action pattern. And I'll just read the straight definition for you. It's called the term fixed action pattern or modal action pattern are behavioral sequences produced by the neural network known as the innate releasing mechanism in response to an external sensory stimulus known as the sign stimulus or the releaser. Okay, so I read the sign stimulus. Now let me put it in common language. Once you have established a habit, something you can think about Pavlov's dog. Let's go with that. Pavlov's dog. I mean, I think most people have heard about Pavlov. Ring the bell, bring the food. Dog says, ring the bell, bring the dog. Ring the bell, no food, but the dog still salivates. Because the body has been conditioned to expect food with the ringing of the bell. Ring the bell, here comes the food. So the animal has made a connection between food and the bell. All right. Now you and I, we have an animal quality to our body. Our body is an animal, effectively speaking, but that's not the real us. So when you have established prayer, and in the course of establishing prayer, what you create is a modal action pattern or a fixed action pattern. And how does the fixed action pattern come into play? Meaning that if you get triggered to go through a full sequence of behavior, once that trigger comes and it's tied to a sequence of behavior, then here's the sequence of behaviors, the modal action pattern. You're going to do A, B, C, D, E. And it can be for drugs. I want you to get clear on this. It can be for drugs, or it can be to go watch a television program that you, or to play a video game that you used to. You get into a fixed action pattern.
something can trigger your mind. I need to go play that game. But you didn't recognize it was just you saw a piece of candy on the ground. Now you want to go play Candy Crush. Right? Why? Because why? That was the stimulus right there. That was the internal release mechanism. That was the trigger right there, the candy that you saw. And then it set you up for the fixed action pattern. Some people be playing those video games for hours. They just got triggered by something they saw in the gutter. But they have been playing that game thousands of hours. Let's cut it back even to hundreds of hours to where it became a part of their neural network. And so whenever that is triggered, they go into that behavior. Yes, that explains our children and these games. Trigger, go play that for hours. All right? So once the Muslim has established prayer as an obligation, as something that they find pleasure in fulfilling that obligation, that responsibility, they establish it. And having established it, the azan is the trigger. The azan is the trigger. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. The body is saying, oh, yeah. Body is happy. The believing body. The body's happy. Oh, man, alhamdulillah. Time for prayer. Now, the mind of the guy that's working on the contract, watching the game or whatever, is saying, oh, man, we got to pray. And the body is saying, yeah, that's prayer time. Right? And so when we submit, we go pray, the modal action pattern completes, and then all those benefits that flow from making salat flow to us. And when we stand up from the prayer, we have the dopamine that's released from the pleasure of fulfilling an obligation in our service to God. You actually get a shot. Yeah, yeah. Maybe you'll notice it next time. You come up, you finish, it happens. You say, oh, don't you feel good after you finish making the salat that you are obligated to make? You say, feels good. Nothing else really matters because now you can pretty much go do whatever you want to do because your prayer is done. So now, I know this is not a hand-raising kind of scenario, but in your mind, raise your hand if you feel that, because trust is, that's how it's, I believe it's supposed to be. A satisfaction. A satisfaction that comes from it. Sometimes you make salat feel like you took a bath. Feel like you took a shower. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And that's the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is in our very bodies and minds for fulfilling our service to him. And so the brain patterns get set up just by the action itself, and then the trigger fulfilling the obligation of the azan, it sets our body in motion for doing that, and so we create a habit that will cultivate us to these higher levels that, inshallah, I pray Allah, we have the opportunity to get to at another time. اللهم ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما صليت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد كما باركت على ابراهيم وعلى ال ابراهيم في العالمين انك حميد مجيد ربنا اجعلنا من المسلمين ربنا اجعلنا من المؤمنين ربنا اجعلنا من المتقين ربنا اجعلنا من المسلمين ربنا اجعلنا من المحسنين ربنا اجعلنا من المصلين ربنا اجعلنا من الراقيين الله الله ربنا اجعلنا من الصادقين Oh Allah, make us among those who are submitting our wills peacefully to you. Oh Allah, make us among those who are secure in our faith in you. Oh Allah, make us among those who are guarding ourselves on the inside and are conscious in the way that you would have us be conscious. Oh Allah, make us among those who are excellent and who live as though we are seeing you, and though we don't see you, we know that you are seeing us. Oh Allah, make us among those who bow down in worship, and oh Allah, make us among those who prostrate ourselves completely to you. And Rabbana ja'alna min al-warithin. Oh Allah, make us among those who by our character have earned the inheritance of your promise. Ameen. Alhamdulillah.
Brothers and sisters, we're going to make salah, and then there's a very brief announcement that we want to make after. So if you just hold after salah, we'll have that announcement.
Allahu Akbar. Make our roads straight and even, leave no space between the shaitan and dividers. Our roads are straight, our hearts will agree. Allahu Akbar. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ويل لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع ماله وعددا يحسب أن ماله أخلدا كلا لا ينبضان في الحتمة وما أدراك ما الحتمة نار الله الموقدة التي تتعالي على الآفدة إنها عليهم محتدة في أمد ممددة. Allahu Akbar. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. ذكر الله سبحان الله. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. له لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم، لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم، له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض، من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه، يعلم ما بين أيديهم وما خلفهم، ولا يحيطون بشيء من علمه إلا بما شاء، وسع كرسيه السماوات والأرض، ولا يعوده حفظهما، وهو العلي العظيم. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. Brothers and sisters, with your indulgence, I want you to hear Rashid Khalil here to make an announcement that I want you to hear. got tangled up there. Go right ahead. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah. Shukra. MashaAllah. All right, thank you. Alhamdulillah, he's very, very, very humble, brother. So I'm putting a yeast on it. You know, it ain't really yeast. It's just the real stuff, right? His father is one of those 1,000 paper sellers. Was 1,000 papers from the OG days, the first resurrection. Who know about that? You know about that right there? His pop give you run for your money straight like that, right? And a salesman, you know Kemp Khalil, and you know Kemp Khalil. Kemp Khalil, this is his brother. This is his big brother, right? And so Kemp Khalil, he's also a sports agent, all right? His brother is a sports agent. So this is that second generation that's really putting it down, and especially in this era of the anti-Ilhan Omar moves and all the races and all the other stuff, Rami Nashabani, right? Rami Nashabani, he threw out the first pitch at Wrigley, whatever, this week sometime, right? And when you talk about America, you're talking about baseball. You know what I'm saying? So for us to be represented, for our folks to be headlining, setting up the way by which we can be a part of, we got to be there. It's history. We got to do that for us. Say, you know, baseball, you know, different people have different attitudes. Some people think it don't move fast enough. You know what I'm saying? We like that sport that bang, 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 right?
But we like baseball too.
Yes.
Yes. So inshallah, you know, we show up for that reason. This is da'wah. Can you see Muslims praying, with Muslims out there praying in the presence of all those people looking, and the Muslims out there making salat? I don't know if they think the jihad is going to start, Israel, but it don't matter. That's powerful da'wah. So you have one more thing you want? Okay, that's it? Okay. Alhamdulillah. May Allah have mercy on us, guide us to the best. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum. Thank you for the reminder. Alhamdulillah. All right, something like shukran. Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. Good? Yeah, lucky cookie. One more time? He's right here. Alhamdulillah.